Well, good evening, saints. How you doing? Was anybody glad when they said, let's go to the house of God? God's always got something good at his house. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Anybody in here glad to be saved? Anybody like me? You're just glad to be born again. Just glad to be saved. Praise God. It's just so good to know Jesus tonight. We're just so thankful for that. I want to begin my remarks tonight just with a joke because I'm going to speak on a serious subject after that. And so in an effort to bring a little levity before I speak in a more serious manner, I'll tell you a little joke about a police officer. He was called to a home where there had been a shooting, and he got there and analyzed the scene, and he saw what had happened with the shooting, and he rushed back to his squad car, and he called in to the sergeant to the station from the squad car, and he told the sergeant what had happened, and he said, well, a wife here has shot her husband. She was mopping the floor, and he walked on the wet floor. And she shot him for walking on that wet floor. And the sergeant came back over the radio. Well, have you arrested her yet? And the police officer said, no, the floor is still wet. So, you knew that woman was serious about her floor. So it's the motto, don't step on a wet floor. You don't want to get shot. No, tonight we're talking about the subject of submission. Our title tonight, what's your position about submission? I wonder if you'd look at somebody and ask them that question. What is your position? Look at somebody and ask them, what's your position about submission? Look at somebody else and ask them that question. What's your position about submission? This is not the most popular topic to speak on. But when we understand submission in its true biblical context, it should be a popular topic. Because submission is not a woman's subject. Submission is a subject for every Christian. If you call yourself a believer in Jesus Christ, submission is your issue. Wish I had a bigger amen there. I said last time, and I'm going to rush through these because I spoke on these. Last time I spoke, I highlighted these four key areas. But there are four key relationships for which the Christian is to be in submission. For every Christian, every person who names the name of Christ, there are four key areas regarding submission. It has nothing to do with whether you're a woman or a man. If you're naming the name of Christ and saying, I'm a Christian, these four key areas are vital to your success. Number one, I'm going to go through these quickly. Every Christian is to be submitted to the head of the church. Can you say amen to that? Look at Ephesians 5:24 real quick. We're going real quick because I've covered this. Ephesians 5:24, it says, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands and everything. But the point here, the first part of this verse, but as the church is subject to Christ. We'll talk about the other part of this verse later. As the church is subject to Christ. How many know? Every individual member in particular of the church of Jesus Christ ought to be submitted to the head of the church. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's what's called his lordship. His lordship means that we as individuals submit to him. He's the head of the church. Amen. James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God. I'm reading in the New American Standard, by the way, New American Standard Version. James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will do what? He will flee from you. And on, the Bible encourages you and I to submit to the lordship of Jesus. And something goes awry in the life of a Christian who's not submitted to the lordship of Christ. Let me say this. No Christian can lead a successful Christian life without daily living in submission to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not in this earth to please ourselves, but instead we are in this earth to please our commanding officer, and his name is Jesus. You want to have joy and fulfillment in your Christian walk, submit to the head of the church. He's your Savior, but is he your Lord? And until he's your Lord and your Savior, you'll never experience the fulfillment and purpose as a Christian that you should without submitting. So the first thing, every Christian should be submitted to the head of the church. Secondly, every Christian is to be submitted to the church leaders. Hebrews 13:17, if you will. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Yeah, every Christian should be submitted to church leaders. You know, let me say this, you know, submitting to church leaders does not mean church leaders are making your daily decisions for you. Church leaders shouldn't be telling you how to spend your money or where you're going on vacation. That's not submission to church leaders. That's a cult. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. There's some people who've twisted biblical submission into foolishness like that, where some church leader is telling you where you can go on vacation and how you spend your money and stupidity like that. That has nothing to do with the Bible. I wish I had a bigger amen here. Yeah. And actually, church leaders, especially look around here at any leader around here, but church leaders throughout Christendom who are good leaders, listen, they're very mindful of the fact that one day we as leaders have to give an account to God for everything that we've taught and how we've led. Right there in that verse that I read in Hebrews 13:17, it says, they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. I'm very mindful of that. As I minister forth here or whatever, teach here or give people advice here, I'm very mindful. One day I'll have to stand before God and give an account. Every leader with any, you know, real sense of duty to the Lord feels that way. Over in James 3, chapter 1, talking about giving an account to the Lord. James 3, 1, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. So leaders will give an account to God or be judged more strictly because they knew better and they knew what they were teaching and saying and should have known the effect that that has on people. Amen. Leaders are judged with a higher standard, a stricter standard. But it does not negate the fact that, secondly, though, as I said, every Christian should be submitted in a biblical sense to church leaders. Leaders, Christians should follow and listen and be able to grow and glean and take advice constructively from Christian leaders. Thirdly, every Christian leader is to be submitted to the government authorities. Somebody say, uh-oh. But it's true. Every Christian is to be submitted to the government authorities. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 7. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 7. It says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God, and therefore whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they have opposed, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. And we may not agree with every single decision of a government, but the Bible calls you and I to be in submission to our government, our local leaders, our police officers, and our officials, and government officials, and so forth. And I don't know anybody who's just really enthusiastic always about paying taxes, but the Bible says we should submit. Listen, we should submit to whatever the rules and the laws of society are. Look at verse 7 of Romans 13, verse 7. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. And so when people say, well, you know, I'm off the grid. I'm not obeying any government authority. I'm not. Well, you're out of sync with Scripture. Because every Christian ought to be submitted to government authorities. And fourthly, every Christian is to be submitted to one another out of reverence for Christ. Every Christian ought to be submitted. There ought to be no problem learning how to submit to one another. Wish I had one amen there. It says in Romans chapter 12 at verse 10, I'm reading New American Standard. Romans 12, verse 10. You say, Brother Bill, why are you going so fast? Because I covered this in a previous message, and I want to get to what the Lord has me to share tonight. But I want to give you, if I'm concerned that if I just say what he has for me to say tonight, I don't want to lose the context and the balance of this whole topic of submission. Is that all right? So I'm just going faster, giving you references so you can see it and look it up. All right. So Romans 12, verse 10, what are we talking about now? Every Christian is to be submitted to one another out of reverence for Christ. Romans 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Listen, give preference to one another in honor. Oh, that's a good scripture. We ought to be able to give preference to one another. Sometimes people can give preference to the pastor, but they won't give preference to the person sitting in the pew. Sometimes people give preference to the pastor, but they won't give preference to the parking lot worker. Brother won't get no amen. Sometimes people give preference to the pastor, but they won't give preference to the person working in the nursery. Wish I had a bigger amen. We ought to be able to submit to one another. There's a woman who runs a worldwide ministry, and she said, I employ, you know, hundreds of people. And she said, whenever I go into a meeting, there's department heads there, and I'm over all of them. She said, but when I go into a meeting, I look around in the room, and I ask myself, who's leading this meeting? And she said, whoever that person is, I bring myself in submission to them. And you and I ought to be able to bring ourselves in submission to the ushers.
They said, well, I don't know why the usher told me I couldn't sit there. Don't look like anybody sitting there to me.
Well, you ought to just smile and say, okay, no problem. There's a reason. If an usher's telling you something, there's a reason they're telling you that. They're not just trying to ruin your night. And the last I checked, none of our names are on any of these seats. Brother losing all his amens. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 says this, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another, listen now, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to be able to submit to one another. I said amen. Over in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote this, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. And so you can see here, Paul is asking the church to be submissive to her, to help her in whatever she needs, to be willing to listen to her. She's a leader in the church. She's traveling to another church, and he's sending word ahead of her that the church should not resist her, but should be able to work in conjunction with her and be submissive to her. And so those are four key areas. Every Christian should be submitted. But tonight, I want to talk about the fifth, and I rushed through all of that to get to my time here on this fifth topic tonight, and it's that every wife should be submitted to her own husband, and every husband should see to it that he learns to love and please his wife. That was so good, I'm going to say that again. Every wife should be submitted to her own husband, and every husband should see to it that he learns to love and to please his wife. You know, back in Deuteronomy chapter 24, around verse 5, the scripture says that back in ancient Israel, when someone from who was a part of the military got married, they would give the man a whole year off and send him home with this instruction. You have a year off to go home and learn how to please your wife. Woo, that's a good rule. How many wish we had that rule today? How many wish we had that rule and we could grandfather it in? We could retro it back. But it was considered a such a high priority that a man learned how to please his wife that he was given a whole year off to do that. Yeah. And so I want to go to our key text tonight. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. Go with me, 1 Peter chapter 3, New American Standard. New American Standard, 1 Peter chapter 3. We're talking about submission in marriage tonight. That's a big topic, submission in marriage. That's an unpopular topic because it's so often been, submission has so often been twisted, so often been, taught incorrectly. Submission has so often been used to manipulate someone. Ooh, Brother Bill won't get no amen. That's all right. I'm going to teach it anyway. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're talking about submission in marriage. Submission in marriage. Somebody says, well, I guess this is where I stopped listening because those other four points applied to me, Brother Bill. But somebody said, well, I'm not planning to get married. I have the gift of singlehood. Well, you need to keep listening because you might have to give advice to somebody who wants to get married. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to listen because I'm not married. I'm still single. Well, if you want to get married, you better listen. First Peter chapter 3, I'm starting at verse 1. I'm going to read down those first 10 verses. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely, everybody say merely, external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle, quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Everybody say hindered. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Let me say this as I speak about this chapter and make some remarks. Let me lay this foundation. First of all, Jesus is the head of the church, and he is also the head of the Christian home. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. He's the head of the church, and he should also be the head in the Christian home. I said, amen. Now, God has set an order in the home, in the Christian home. He has set an order to have the man or the husband in the Christian home as the head of the woman in that sense in the home. But we need to remember that Christ is still the head of the home. What are you talking about? So if Christ is really the head of the home, then everybody ought to be submitted to Christ. And including the husband in the house. I said the husband being the head of the home doesn't give him the right to say, you know, I'm just going to go willy-nilly, do whatever I want. I can be as selfish as I want to be. After all, God made me the head. No, one day you're going to give an account for the headship that you've demonstrated in the home. Brother, not getting no amen. And so every man needs to be mindful that God did put a man in position in the home as the head of his wife. Now, let me say this. God never said that every man is the head of every woman. For people twist scripture. Every husband should be the head of every wife. But that does not mean, and nowhere does scripture say that every man is the head of every woman. Wish I had a bigger amen. I'm just going to let that marinate. In the home, the husband is the head of the wife in the home. But Jesus is really the head. And so if a man is worth his salt at all, then he will want to submit also to the head, and that's to the Lord Jesus. So in the Christian home, everybody ought to be submitted to Jesus. The head of the home, the man, he ought to be submitted to Jesus. The wife, she ought to be submitted to Jesus. The kids ought to be, the goldfish ought to be, the cat ought to be submitted. Everybody ought to be submitted to the Lord Jesus. I said, amen. Because Jesus, things will flow smoothly in the Christian home when everyone is submitted to him. So Jesus is the head of the church, and he's also the head of the Christian home. Let me say this. Every man, as I said, is not the head of every woman, but every husband is called to be the head of every wife. And let me say this. The wife is not the husband's doormat. The wife is his willing partner. The wife is his supporter. The wife is not his slave. She is a joint heir with him in the things of God. I wish I had a bigger amen. Submission in the home does not mean that the wife has somehow become some kind of doormat for the husband. And if that's what you think when you think submission, then you got that wrong. Go back to go. Start again. She is not his slave. She is not some glorified doormat. And scripture is not calling her to be his slave, not calling her to be a doormat. And let me just say as well. In marriage and in the home, the wife is called to come under her husband's authority. But the husband is called to lay down his life for his wife and to do everything possible to please and to care and to nurture her. And as I say, every husband will one day give an account to the Lord for the type of leadership that he's demonstrated in the home. So let's start here. That word submission, when I read there, 1 Peter 3:1, in the same way you wives be submissive, that word submission, it comes from a Greek word, hupotasso. It's a compound word. The first part of it, hupo, the last part of it, tasso. The hupo part means to come under, and tasso, that means to arrange or to put something in order. So God has set a certain order in the home, and there's no doubt about that. And listen, in the home, there's no doubt but that God set the husband to be the head of the home, and he shouldn't have to compete for that position. I said, amen. I said, every wife ought to be proud to see him in that position, ought to be proud to support him in that position, ought to be proud, ought not be challenging that position, ought to be proud that he's in that position and supporting him in every way that she can. Amen. So let's talk about this question. What is the wife's responsibility to follow her husband? Uh-oh. What is the wife's responsibility to follow her husband? Because one of the greatest needs of every husband is to have a wife who is in fact supportive. Men go through a lot for their families. Married men deal with a lot. Sometimes they put up with a lot of things at work. They go through lots of issues and they go through things at work. And they do that for their families. And when a man comes home, he should come home to a wife with a supportive attitude. And if you want to get through to your guy, the best thing you can do is not to nag him. There is a way to get through to him when he's not doing everything maybe that he should. But the exact wrong thing to do is to nag a man. You ever read Proverbs? There are all kind of specific warnings about nagging a man. Want to chase him away? Want to chase him to the corner of a roof? Want to get him not to listen ultimately? Start nagging him. There is a way. God has a way, ladies, for you to get your man. He has a way for you to get him to change when he's not doing right, even when he's not following the word. But what is the wife's responsibility to follow her husband? Because the scripture here says, you wives in the same way be submissive to your own husbands. And then I read down toward the bottom where it says about Sarah and Abraham. Let me read verse 5 again. For in this way, the former times, holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by fear. Somebody said, I wish you hadn't read that a second time. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Sometimes women cringe when they hear that. You know why? Because it's been taught so incorrectly in the church. What the scripture really means is that Sarah respected her husband's authority. She wasn't ashamed of the authority, the position of authority that he had in the home. And she gladly supported him in that authority. And when she called him Lord, it didn't mean, yes, master, I'm your slave, master. No, it meant that she was saying, I respect your position as my husband in the home. And first of all, can we say this? Abraham wasn't always right anyway. Brother won't get no amen. Okay, you got your Bible. Go to Genesis 21. Genesis chapter 21. We're going to go to verse 12, I believe. Genesis 21. We're talking about Sarah and Abraham. Peter mentioned Sarah and Abraham. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And so now we've gone to Genesis chapter 21, and we're going down to verse 12. And in this chapter, Abraham and Sarah were having an argument. And in their disagreement, Abraham was completely wrong. And he was asking Sarah to do something, but what Abraham was asking Sarah to do was wrong. And God speaks to Abraham and tells him that he's wrong. And he tells Abraham, you need to go listen to your wife. You say, that's not in the Bible. Let's read together. Genesis 21. We'll start at verse 8. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on that day. Isaac was weaned. Now, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. And therefore, she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. Look at verse 12. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid, whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For through Isaac, your descendant shall be named. Can you see that there? So the scripture said in 1 Peter 3 that Sarah obeyed Abraham, called him Lord. But look, we're in Genesis 21, verse 12, looking at how God spoke to Abraham and said, now on this issue right here, your wife is right. Go listen to her. And every husband ought to be sensitive to the Lord so that he can hear the Lord tell him when the wife is right. Oh, brother won't get no amen teaching on this. Y'all slowing me down. We're talking about submission in marriage tonight. Yeah. You know, a husband that's really submitted to the Lord should be able, because see, a husband has a supply of the Spirit, but guess what? Wifey also has a supply of the Spirit. And see, and that's why two are better than one. Amos 3:3 said, how can two walk together except they be agree? If two of you agree on earth touching anything you shall ask, it shall be done of the Father. There's power in agreement. I said, amen. Some men negate the power of agreement because they don't take the time to get into agreement with their wife. And listen, but you ought to learn how to hear the Holy Ghost in that woman. And a real spiritual man can pick up, a real spiritual man can hear from God like Abraham did. And when the Lord says she's right, a real spiritual man is not so prideful and offended and, oh, what does this do to my position? My wife is right. No, listen, when the Lord speaks to her and you recognize the Lord has spoken to her, it does not detract from your position as the head of the home. In fact, it enhances it. When the head of the home can hear the head of the church say, listen to your wife on this one. That's a powerful position to be in. And see, if that bothers a man, then that's an insecure man. We got too many insecure men in the church. I said, if God speaks to your wife, that shouldn't bother you. That should make you elated. And you should be able to recognize that was the Holy Ghost speaking through you. Wish I had a bigger amen. Y'all slowing me down. I should have been on another point by now. She has a supply of the Spirit. And the head of the home needs to learn how to listen to that. And so she needs to learn how to listen. Because sometimes the Lord will tell her, listen to your husband. And ladies, can I say this to you? When you disagree with a man, let me say it this way. You know, the scripture says, there we read in 1 Peter 3 that the woman is weaker, and it's encouraging the man to be mindful of the fact that she's weaker. You notice that did not say she's dumber than him. Less intelligent, less smart. That's not true. I said the average woman is not less intelligent than the average man. Let me say it this way. Statistically, the average woman is smarter than the average man. Did you know that? I said statistically, it's just a natural fact. The average woman is smarter than the average man. So she's not less intelligent than him. If anything, she's smarter than him. And that should not diminish his role or position as the head of the home. But as such, listen, ladies, when you do disagree with your guy and you feel like he's not right, sometimes here's where you make your mistake. It's not wrong to disagree. You're going to disagree with him, even though he's the head of the home. It's not that you disagreed. Listen to me now. It's how you disagree. Oh, I wish a brother could get an amen right there. It's not that you disagree at all. You're going to disagree. It's how you disagree. And the scripture admonishes you to be respectful of him, to be respectful of the position. One woman told me one time, she said, well, when he does right, then I'll show him some respect. No, wrong answer. Go back to go. Start again. Listen, show him that respect even when you know he's wrong. Ooh, I'm giving some good advice. I said, you ought to show him respect even when you know he's wrong. Have that chaste, respectful behavior so that he doesn't assume that you're not with him or not supporting. Show him that you support him. You just disagree with him. And then, here's what you do, ladies, and then take that thing to the Lord in prayer. Silently. Don't be praying all in front of the man. Lord, you see him. You see his old stubborn heart, this old mule. Lord, you gave me this old mule. No, don't be praying like that. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And when you demonstrate the right attitude, chaste and respectful behavior, God will team up with you. And God knows how to get a hold of him and say, get over here now. Now, that's not right. Now, you change that. Now, you stop that. And God knows how to get that man back in place. But he needs you to partner by behaving and responding the right way when you disagree. Oh, man, we could talk all night on this. Let's pray together tonight. We've gone as far as we can go tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your help to husbands and wives, to future husbands and wives. We thank you for the balance of biblical submission. It's such a beautiful thing. There was submission in the Godhead. There should be submission in the Christian home. It's not a bad word. It's a great word. Father, we thank you for the balance of biblical submission. We thank you for the lordship of Jesus. And we submit our hearts, our cares, and our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We hope to pick back up and say some more things to you about biblical submission. For tonight, though, if you have a prayer request, that's what these prayer partners are for. They're coming on down, being led by Reverend Paul, Sister Augusta here. All these people are just anointed people. And if you have any need for prayer tonight, you want to be saved. You want someone to agree with you in prayer. You want somebody to pray with you about healing, being filled with the Spirit, whatever it is. Something's going on in your family, in your marriage, and you want prayer. Come on forward. Let them pray for you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Will you be here on Wednesday night, Hour of Power? And another time we'll pick up and share some more comments along these lines. For tonight, God bless you. Thank you for coming here, and we'll see you next time. God bless you.